Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Good to be back with you again and to be in the studio. And we give a very warm welcome to all our viewers, wherever you may be watching. We thank you for tuning in to our television broadcast, and we pray that God will bless His word to your heart. Again, I say thank you and welcome in our Saviour's name. Let's begin by having a word of prayer. O loving God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee in the name of Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for all Thy mercies toward us. We give thanks for His atoning sacrifice and for our sin being borne by Him on the cross at Calvary. We thank Thee that Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We thank Thee for the gospel of redeeming grace and for the great comfort believers have in looking forward to the coming again of our Saviour and our gathering together unto Him. O God, we ask Thee to help us to keep looking unto Thee, presence Thyself among us, and help us to receive Thy word. Give help and power in the Holy Spirit, and may the Holy Ghost press home the word to every heart who hears and listens. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our Bible reading is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, beginning at verse 35. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Amen, and God will bless the reading of his own precious and holy word. We're going to sing one of the great hymns in our hymn book, Face to Face with Christ my Saviour. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? Our subject for today's message is on being ready for his return. The second advent of Christ is the great and glorious promise of the New Testament, just as his first advent was the great and glorious promise of the Old Testament. In 27 books of the New Testament, there are over 300 references to the Savior's return. how absolutely certain that return is. This alone will fulfill God's purpose of redemption. He who once appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself must appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He who came in humiliation must come again in glory. The Redeemer who came once to redeem must come again to claim his blood-bought inheritance. The whole drama of divine redemption cannot be completed without this last act, the appearing of the divine Redeemer. The Saviour's words in Matthew 24 and verse 44 says, "Therefore be ye ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." These words exhort us to be in a state of readiness for his return. What is it then to be ready for the coming of the Son of Man? First of all, to be ready is to be waiting. Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 12, verse 36, "Ye yourselves be like unto men that wait for their Lord." Such waiting is advanced by Paul as an evidence of the reality of God's saving grace in the Thessalonican converts. Now that they are saved, they wait for God's Son from heaven. In chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, we read, "Ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Here, the apostle defines Christian living as waiting for God's Son from heaven. By waiting, we testify that this life is but an interim period. We must live with eternity's values in view. The basic character of our time on earth is that it is a time of waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to return to earth from heaven. This waiting is active. It is not passive. It denotes an active expectation of the Savior's coming. We are to live on earth with our eyes on heaven, daily crying with John the Apostle, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." And all that we do should be done in the light of the fact that Christ is coming. That is true expectancy. It is deeply significant that Paul's brief ministry among the Thessalonians not only brought them out of the darkness of idolatry to serve the living and true God, but it also brought them to firmly and fervently embrace the hope of his return. There can be no doubting of the prominent and powerful place the truth of the coming again of the Lord Jesus occupied in the hearts of apostolic saints. The present tense of the verb denotes a waiting constantly for something with patience and with confidence. In Luke 12, verse 36, the Greek word for wait means waiting so as to receive. For example, a visitor or a guest. This is certainly seen in verse 36. "And ye yourselves be like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately." C.H. Spurgeon, preaching on these words, once said, "He felt rebuked by his dogs. I know that at this very time, my dogs are sitting against the door waiting for me, and long before I reach home, there they will be, and at the first sound of the carriage wheels, they will lift up their voices with delight because their master is coming home." He went on to say, "If only we loved our Lord as dogs love their masters, how we should catch the first sound of his coming and be waiting, always waiting, and never happy until at last we should see his face. Are we so waiting for his coming? The second element in being ready for his return is to be watching. This is intimately related to our first point, as seen in Luke 12, verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Notice also Matthew 24 and verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. The word watch literally means wakefulness. It is the word found on the Saviour's lips in Gethsemane when the disciples failed to watch and they fell asleep. Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 26 and verse 40, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? In other words, Peter, could ye not stay awake? Could ye not keep alert? What does it mean to watch? Well, negatively, it means not to be intoxicated by worldly pleasures or to be deterred by worldly persecutions. And positively, it means to maintain the highest possible spiritual standards in personal, in church, and in public life. Luke 12, verse 37 says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Christians, in maintaining a state of readiness for the Saviour's return, will be watching against spiritual drowsiness. The Bible says, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. It also entails watching against spiritual dullness of our affections and the waning of our interest in spiritual things. It involves as well spiritual deadening of our devotional life. And fourthly, there will be a watching against spiritual deception. How striking and significant to mark Christ's first word in response to the disciples' inquiry in Matthew 24, verses 3 and 4. The disciples asked, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. How often in Scripture is this warning repeated? There was spurious teaching abroad, even in the apostolic age, as indicated in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We need to study the Scriptures very carefully and thoughtfully and above all, prayerfully. In the fifth place, watching also involves exercising spiritual discernment. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 to 6, it says, be ye, brethren, not in darkness, but that the day should not overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. The apostle establishes the connection between the possession of truth and its application to our lives as Christians. The light of truth regarding Christ's return must govern our lives. Christians should also be watching against spiritual departure. Remember Demas. Paul said of him, Demas hath forsaken me. That means he has departed, having loved this present world. And in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, the apostle says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. In the third place, to be ready is to be working. The Lord said, let your loins be girded about. The reference is, of course, to the need in the East of tying up those long, loose, flowing garments. so that they are not a hindrance to the pilgrim, nor a hindrance to the laborer. On the night of Passover, in Exodus chapter 12, when all the firstborn of the Egyptians were slain, the Israelites were instructed in verse 11, saying, "And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes in your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Also on the night that Peter was miraculously released from prison, he was commanded by the angel to gird thyself and follow me. It is the equivalent for us of urging someone to roll up his or her sleeves. We are to be faithful and wise servants, ever engaged in dutiful and diligent service for our coming Lord. In the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, the Lord Jesus speaks of the kingdom of heaven as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. Let me simply underline 4 solemn, searching thoughts about this parable. First, every Christian is entrusted with talents. All Christians, then, have means whereby they can serve the Lord, and they are to work in the light of the Lord's return. Number 2, every Christian is to enjoy and the employment of his talents. We are to go and trade with them. Read verses 16 and 17. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded, that is, he worked with them. And soon he made other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. We all are to be spiritual tradesmen, employing every talent, every gift, every ability, turning every good account for the Lord's glory. Every Christian will be examined with reference to his or her talents. Verse 19 says, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them." The word "reckoneth" carries the idea of examination or even scrutiny. And fourthly, the Christian will be extolled. That is, he will be praised. He will be rewarded. He will be commended for his faithfulness. How much we ought to desire our Lord's commendation in verse 21. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." These words speak volumes of how our sovereign Lord will graciously and wondrously do all to advance the honor and the happiness of his faithful servants. Only eternity will reveal the glories of the rewards of grace. As the Puritan Thomas Watson once said, "We may be losers for him, but we shall never be losers by him." How true. Fourthly, to be ready is to be witnessing. Luke 12:35 says, "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning." These words, like the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, are set in the context of a wedding. Both are dark night scenes. They underline the necessity of this witness. Peter describes this sinful world as a dark place. How vital then that with both our eyes and our lips we shine as lights in the world. In Philippians 2, verse 14 to 16, we read, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life." Jesus said unto his disciples in Luke chapter 12, "Take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Waiting, watching, working, and witnessing. These are key words that describe the conduct of the believer waiting for the Lord's return. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus will last. And Fanny Crosby well wrote in her lovely hymn, "When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him will he find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright. Oh, can we say we are ready, brothers, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come?" We trust that God will bless his word to all who have heard for his glory and for his name's sake. We're going to close in a short word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee that every child of thine finds great comfort in the knowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. We thank thee for the promise, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself." O Lord, help us meanwhile to be faithful in our duty and in our service for thee. Help us to labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Help us to tell of all his wondrous love and care. And then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, help us all to be there. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.